right, the front ones anyway.
So how much country have you got here?
About 1,200 acres on the place, and we'd have about 150 fenced.
And how many head of emus are you running at the moment?
About 800 emus at the moment, and we're just the process are just hatching out at the moment, so we'll probably hatch about another 400.
If you were, you know, looking at a static mob that you'd be aiming for, how many? What would be the ideal number?
At this stage, well, we were, when things were going a bit better, we were looking at about 500 a year, so we'd hatch roughly 500, try and hatch 500 chicks to produce roughly, if we could turn off 500 a year, would be a good number.
Pretty extraordinary height fences, obviously, you know, pretty serious infrastructure to contain them.
These fences are probably a bit higher than normal, or than what's required. The National Parks lay down all the rules of the fences, 5 foot six. These fences are a bit over 2 metres, but we were running deer here before, so we did have higher fences for them.
We've just gone through a gate into a field of emus. They're not bothered by us, are they? They're pretty quiet.
When you consider they're probably one generation off a wild bird, once they've been domesticated, they're hatched in the incubator, they are extremely quiet. We'll get the odd wild one, but generally they're very quiet, yeah. Curiosity factor is the big one, so if you go into the paddock, they'll all drift up to where you are and they want to know, check out and see what you're doing more than anything.
Are they territorial? Would you ever be concerned about them, you know, having a bit of a go at you if you went somewhere that they weren't happy about?
No, not really. Get the odd one, but normally even when they're sitting on the nest, we can pick the eggs from out underneath them and they don't tend to worry.
So these are run as almost like, you know, wild emus would be. There'd be males and females wandering around out here?
Yeah. We don't split them up at all. We just run them all together as a mob. They're only split mainly age group. They probably are separated to some degree.
The country looks great. You've obviously had a good drop of rain here. They'd be picking a bit of a feed out of what's on the ground, but you'd be supplementary feeding them as well.
Yeah, we're running too many per acre to get enough from the country. You have to run them over such a vast area. So, yeah, we supplement them mainly with wheat. And then we do a proper mix with, we put sort of roughly 30% legumes, a bit of hay and a few mineral additives and that in as well.
And if they're running in the wild, do emus eat insects and other things?
Yeah, they love grasshoppers. During the grasshopper plague, they did really well. At one stage, they were even trying to encourage the bands to go into their paddocks because the emus were just following the bands of grasshoppers, and they love grasshoppers and bugs and things, yeah.
There were parts of the western part of the country you could have probably put them on a gistment.
Well, we did offer that we would buy the grasshoppers if people could deliver them. We would buy them off them, but we didn't want them killed by chemical, though. So, no one took up the offer, so I think it must have been a little bit difficult.
So we're going out now to collect some eggs. I understand you've had an order for some eggs this morning. How does this work?
A lot of times we just go around on the bikes, just with the backpack, and we pick the eggs up. We're going around the ute today. We can fit more on the back there. We just sort of drive straight up and down the paddocks, and the emus will sort of lay all over the place. And then we'll pick the eggs up, and next day they'll lay them in a different spot trying to hide them from us. This time of year they're actually starting to sit on the eggs. The males get a bit more frustrated that we're picking up the eggs, so they'll sit on them overnight, and we just collect the eggs, and then we do have orders for some eggs. They're really good eating, good cooking eggs.
What volume of eggs would you be selling maybe on a weekly or a monthly basis?
We probably don't sell that many eggs as fresh eggs, but a lot of the eggs we do blow, and we sell a lot as blown eggs. A few years ago, I think we blew about 4,000 eggs one year when we weren't hatching many, and actually most of those eggs went to Ukraine and Korea.
And what do they do with them?
The Ukrainians are the egg fabricators. They cut the eggs up and decorate the eggs, and I assume the Koreans were doing something similar. The Chinese were buying them. There was a lot going to Hong Kong and Taiwan at one stage, and they just wanted the eggshell. They were crushing it up as the Chinese do. It was another aphrodisiac for them. But the Chinese have moved on from that, and they're actually using their crushed eggshell. they believe there's medicinal properties in the green eggshell. So they're using it to treat kidney problems and that now.
Who knew that the emu could be such a source of so many different products?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things. They're just finding so many more uses for the emu.
So as we're driving around this field looking for eggs, do you build nests that the emus use, or are they creating their own nests?
It's probably a little bit generous to call it a nest for an emu. Yeah, they pretty well just lay them on the ground. Initially they'll lay the eggs, and then the males will try to hide them. They'll put sticks and grass and things over to hide the eggs, and up until they've got probably 10 or a dozen eggs. And then when he's got enough eggs, he'll then remove the covering and then sit on them, and that'll start the incubation process.
So the female emu, I mean, a lot of Australians aren't aware that the female emu's only real responsibility is she lays the eggs and then it's all over.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's another reason we can't let them hatch in the paddock, because the hen birds actually come back and kill the chicks. So if we let the male sit in the paddock, we've actually got to remove all the hen birds, because she'll come back and kill her own chicks. We incubate the eggs, and also the young are a lot quieter then too. They're more domesticated as well.
Driving around, I can see emus everywhere. Is there an easy way to visually identify the males as compared to the females?
The females make the drumming noise, and they make that noise from a sack on their neck. So, like now, you can see some of the females are sort of strutting around, and they do have that sack on the front of their neck. So that's probably the easiest way to tell the male and female birds, yeah.
Is that nothing there, Nicole?
Oh, just a pile of grass. Quite often, though, they'll make a pile.
Yeah. And you've got to dig in under the grass.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there. So they get pretty cunning.
Yeah, they try to hide them. So in the wild, whether they're hiding them from the eagles or not, because it'll be a visual thing from above. Dogs and foxes are probably their main natural predator would have been the dingo, no doubt. So they're trying to hide them from there. We do get a lot of eggs at times taken by the foxes. We'll find eggs a kilometre or two away. The foxes are carted off, and for whatever reason, the fox wasn't able to get into the egg, and we'll see the scratch marks and that where the fox has carted the egg away but hasn't been able to get into it.
An emu egg is a fair size. That'd be a fairly elastic jawed fox that'd be able to pick one up and carry it.
And the weight too, like they're 600 grams, so it's a fair weight he carries, and like you say, it'll take a bit for a fox to cart it away. I suppose when it's a good food source, he'll put up with that.
Because emu eggs are renowned, aren't they, in the Australian bush? I mean, old-fashioned bush cooks have always used them, and they swear by them for making brilliant cakes.
They're excellent on the cakes, because they'll rise a lot more than the ordinary hen egg. So, yeah, a lot of people do like them for cakes, the sponge cakes, anything that'll rise, omelettes, etc. They're very good at.
So let's talk about the history of your operation here. You're in the shadow of the Warrumbungle National Park. You've got a beautiful bit of country here. When was it that you decided to get into the emu game?
We got in about, I think about 95, so we've been in for quite a while. And then the industry was just sort of kicking off. I think 93, or up until about 93 was when it became legal in New South Wales to farm emus. We heard and we knew about the qualities of the oil, or the potential qualities back then of the oil, so we sort of thought there was potential in it.
So how do you get into emus? Do you, because they're a native species, are there rules about where you can get eggs or chicks from?
Yeah, there was a moratorium back in the early days for 12 months, 2 years. We were allowed to take chicks and eggs from the wild. That only lasted for probably 2 years, I think. And then after that, it was you could only buy and sell through other licensed dealers, which we're licensed through the National Park. National Parks control all that. And back in the early days, I think there was 210 farms in New South Wales. I think currently we're down to about three or four probably left still operating in the state. Yeah, I think we're just slow learners. All the smart ones got out earlier.
Or maybe, you know, maybe you're the dedicated ones, and when there are all those other farms around, it wasn't sustainable. Would you, looking at your business at the moment, do you think it is sustainable at the moment?
Not right at the moment, but it's one of those industries, it's going to happen 1 year. And it's a year you get out, it'll happen the next year. So we've sort of hung in there purely because we believe the oil works. We've got absolutely no doubt the medicinal qualities in the oil does work. They did build up a big stockpile of oil, and all that's gone now. They are doing a little bit of research into the oil. Overseas countries like America, China, and even Italy. Italy's done a lot of research into emu oil. Hopefully that'll translate into markets for us eventually.
So the anecdotal evidence that's around at the moment for the benefits from emu oil, what do they use it for and what are the benefits?
The main thing it's probably used for is as an anti-inflammatory. It's a natural anti-inflammatory. So it works well on a lot of arthritis type situations. And it's very good for the skin. A lot of burns, people who get burns, sunburn, even insect bites, a lot of skin problems. They have found out that the emu oil's almost identical composition was just under our skin, so it sort of revitalises the skin by using the oil. And they're actually taking it now as consuming it orally and for lowering cholesterol. It'll lower cholesterol. The Italians, and they've actually done a little bit of research in the Adelaide University, has done a bit on post-cancer treatment for repairing the damage chemo does. They're finding a lot of new uses for the oil, yeah.